Tonight, I'm reading out of John Ramirez's book, and you know, this one's titled, What You Do Not Destroy in the Spirit Will Destroy You. All right, listen closely. John said, as a devil worshiper, that is his name, yeah, John Ramirez, yes. As a devil worshiper, I was trained to create physical, spiritual, and emotional chaos in people's lives. He was trained to, you know, this is a person like you and I who served the devil for 25 years. He was the devil's son, and so he knows what he's talking about, all right? Then he got saved after 25 years of serving the devil. John said, through monitoring systems of the demonic, what did he say? Through monitoring systems of the demonic, I was under contract. I thought that was interesting. With these demons, through ceremonies and rituals to have the demonic powers to bring hell into people's lives. He actually had a contract with the demons to do that. That's awesome, isn't it? John said, I knew how to go under the radar against believers. Under the radar. Think about that. Those who call themselves Christians in order to get the upper hand. Well, let me start that again. I knew how to go under the radar against believers, those who call themselves Christians. Why did he do that? In order to get the upper hand in the spirit realm and create satanic attacks on their children. So it would manifest in the physical realm. I wished I'd have known this way back when my grandkids were little. They wouldn't be where they're at today. John said, I would create agreements in the spirit realm with certain demons to attack their homes. Look at that. I would create agreements in the spirit realm with certain demons to attack their homes. By those same means, I would also bring satanic dreams and would release satanic attacks upon them so they would lose their jobs. Think about that. What's happening to you and your jobs, Astrid? It's all demonic. John said, we understand that the Bible says to protect the ear, eye, and mouth gates. But I will go a step further and say to protect yourself in this physical, spiritual, and emotional realms. And that's true. We tend to slack off and lose the opportunity to see things in the spiritual. We wait for it to manifest in the natural, but then it is too late. That is a very true statement. Let's read that again. We tend to slack off and lose the opportunity. In other words, we just don't pay attention to what's going on around about us, okay? We tend to slack off and lose the opportunity to see things in the spiritual. We wait for it to manifest in the natural. By then it's too late. Instead of us walking in the spirit constantly so God can constantly show us what's going on, we're too lazy to stay in the spirit, so we stay in the natural and just wait for something to happen, thinking we can do something with it, and we can't. John says, where there is smoke, there is fire. We are like the person who is at home and smells smoke but ignores it. The person only reacts when the house is ablaze and it is too late. Instead of taking action at the first warning, we wait to see something in the physical before we react, and many times it is too late. See that? I've done that. And I believe that some, maybe most of you have done that too. You knew that something bad was going to happen, but instead of you immediately either fasting, praying, or whatever you had to do, you sort of sloughed it off. Next thing you know, there it was, and it was too late. It was done. John said, that is what happens to believers in their walks with the Lord. The alarms in the spirit realm are sounding, but we fail to hear them. Through satanic monitoring systems with our names on them, see that? The devil has already created something against our homes, our marriages, our children, our careers, our ministries. We have the opportunity to stop it before it starts, but we do nothing. John said, it's time to do something about it. The armed forces of the military depend on devices that monitor the enemy in battle. In the same way, the devil knows how to be effective against you and me. He must implement various systems to watch our every move. You're listening to this. The devil is constantly watching you 24/7 to see how you operate your life, so he knows how to get at you. John said he studies our body language every day, our conversations, decisions, weaknesses, our prayer lives, and our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So the demons in his kingdom can be effective and prayerful against us. Aaron, he knows everything you're going to do from now until tomorrow this time. He knows everything you're going to do. And that's how he works to come in against you. He's been watching you. He's been monitoring you. And you know, sometimes we're creatures of habit. And we do the same things every day, same time every day. And so the enemy knows exactly when to come and to attack. John said, we must bring havoc against the powers of darkness and destruction upon every demon in the monitoring system of the satanic world. Read that again. We must bring havoc against the powers of darkness and destruction upon every demon in the monitoring system of the satanic world. Now, I wrote down here that he wrote this too, prayers to disable satanic monitoring systems. That's your first bunch of prayers. That's to disable satanic monitoring systems. Now, arsenal prayers for children. Remember, once again, the Bible says that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus has come that we may have life and have it to the full, and that's in John 10:10. Satan's game plan against you is to destroy everything that is connected to you and your bloodline. Don't you wish you'd known this years ago? I mean, I even look back, I did teach what he said, but I never taught his book. But if we would have taught on the book, you see, and God told me, I want you to teach this book right now. He put it in my hand. Satan's game plan against you is to destroy everything that is connected to you and your bloodline. You have to understand, Aaron, he's just not after you. I don't know why I'm picking on you, but I'll continue. He's just not after you. He's after everything you have from this day forward. If you get married, it'd be your wife, your children. If you have a business, it'd be your business, you know, whatever. Your finances, he is after everything that's pertaining to you. If he cannot get you directly, he will go after your children. All the children you cherish and pray for, whether they are your biological children or not. You remember I told you that's what God told me about Jimmy. Jimmy said, why am I going through all this? And God told me it's because you're serving me. If you quit serving me, Satan will quit tormenting him. And you know, he told me about my granddaughter. He said, when she was born, you were so excited about her because you finally had a little girl. And you loved her, and the enemy decided he was going to take her from you at birth. And he's worked hard at doing that. See, I didn't know all this then, though, or I could have stopped all this. You guys are coming in at a good time. You're hearing all this, and you know all this, so you can work against the devil and stop the things he's trying to do for your life. My two young grandkids have had to pay a terrible price because I serve God. And I, you know, and in fact, he even took Alicia's two grandsons from me. And now they have a baby. And so what's he going to do? He's going to keep working down the line, trying to take all this. But, I, you know, Alicia now is hearing this, so she needs to start praying, and she needs to start covering so that he doesn't steal them. Do you understand this? And, you know, same as you, Astrid, the devil's been after your children forever. All right. John said that Satan wants children to rebel at the authority of the home. That's what's happening. He wants to bring them into negative relationships outside of the house and create an environment for them that will get them hooked on drugs, alcohol, and sexual immorality. My grandson got involved with a girl, and I can't stand her, couldn't stand her. I still can't stand her to this day. And God said the reason why you can't stand her is because she was sent by the devil to come into your home to destroy your grandson. He couldn't get him any other way, so he sent a person to destroy him. And that's what happened. She took him down roads he would have never went down. So don't be all excited when I was never excited about that, but don't get all excited when your kids get somebody. You might think it's good, but it's really the devil putting them in their life to destroy them. That's where you have to have discernment. That's where you have to be walking in the spirit and be hearing God's voice at all times. Now, with my grandson, God has the perfect mate for him, but so far he hasn't been able to let go of the devil. You know, the devil is enticing, and the devil keeps pulling and pulling and pulling. The day he decides, I've had enough of this, is the day God would then will send him the true mate that he has for him, and then he'll finally be happy. But in the meantime, he's still standing in a path he shouldn't be in. Are you understanding all this? All right, Satan will try to destroy their minds and their thinking so they will not be effective in their education. His game plan is to destroy their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Jimmy when he's 18. It is so important to know the schemes and wiles, the setups and entrapments of the devil against your children. Why? So you can stop him in his tracks. And what is the Christian community, what are they talking about? How the enemy's trying to kill our children, right? You read it, everything, the prophets, everybody's talking about protect your children because Satan's after them. All right, Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. That's why the Amish have so many children. They believe that scripture. Keep your quiver full. Amen. But they know how to raise their children too, right? Or okay, they shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, pray their prayers on the handout. So there, the second prayers are for this. All right, fire prayers for your home. It is time to drive demons out of your home. How many of you have been doing it since we had the last teaching? Don't lie now. You know, you should have gone home and you should have cleaned out your bedrooms and then went through the house and cleaned out everything else. Have you ever sat down and wondered where a particular sickness came from, or an argument or confusion in a relationship or chaos in your home, but you can never put your finger on it? It is time to drive these devils out and get violent on them with these prayerful prayers. Come into agreement for your home. There is power in agreement and unity. It is time to regroup against these forces of darkness that are trying to run you out of your home, destroy your marriage, shipwreck your children, and frustrate your decisions. Then he said, put a stop to it once and for all. Aren't you tired of the devil coming? I you know, when I read this, I am so mad that the devil blindsided me, and I allowed all this junk to happen and called myself a child of God walking in the Spirit. You know, when I was first born again, you know, they all thought I'd lost my mind. My whole family did. And one day, you know, my grandson came down. He always banged his head against the refrigerator. And I grabbed him. I cast that demon out, and he fell on the floor. And my family went crazy. And God said, cast the demon out that's in them. He said, if you don't, you'll always have strife in your home. The sword will never leave your home. Remember, he told David that. Because you're allowed to snap, the sword will never leave your home. I looked at all my family sitting there, and I didn't want them to think I totally lost my mind, so I did not make that spirit leave my home. The sword has never left my home. Don't be like I was. And it doesn't matter how much I pray or what I do, God said the sword will never leave your home. And it's not a good place to be. When he tells you to do something, he expects you to obey him. Not be concerned about the faces around you, but obey his voice. And I know that I'm not the only one sitting in this room that has done that. And you young people are just learning this stuff. If you aren't doing what you're learning, then you are being disobedient to God. And you might be one of those where God will say to you, the sword is never going to leave your home. Now, I'm not saying he said that. I'm just saying, please don't go as far as I did. All right. John said, it is time to arrest every demon in the spiritual, physical, and emotional realms. These demons are very bold, and if we show any signs of weakness against them, we will lose the battle. Demons run in groups, and we know that by when we're doing deliverance, they're in a group. We have to get the whole group out. Know this, as believers, we are enlisted in the army of the Lord. It is time to put these demons in cages and lock them up because they are arrested in the spiritual, physical, and emotional realms. Now, I had to read this 6 times. It is time to put these demons in cages and lock them up because they are arrested in the spiritual, physical, and emotional realms. Jesus has already taken care of them. It's up to us to get rid of them. Didn't he do that on the cross? His blood defeated these demons. And now we have to use our authority in Christ Jesus and get them out of our lives and out of our homes, out of our business, whatever, wherever they're at. It's up to us to do that. John said they cannot work in the spiritual environments anymore. You know, if you get them kicked out. Well, no, God has already done the work, so they really can't work there unless you give them permission. I messed that up. God's already taken care of it, and the only way they can do anything is if you give them permission. And you give them permission by when they do something, oh, well. And you just slap your shoulders and let it go. You just gave them permission to come in and wreak havoc in your life, in whatever area they're working in. All right, John said, understand in the spirit these words, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong where? In the Lord. And where? His mighty power. Declare these words of scripture right now, Ephesians 2:1-5. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You once were there. Come on. Some of you didn't really get born again, and you're still there. You just did what people told you to do, but you really never got born again. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You are not, if you profess to be born again, then you should not be acting the way the world acts. Old things should be going away, and all things should become new. Now, we know, and I get tired of having to explain this, we know that we are working with the biggest demons in hell, and we know that they're fighting us worse than they've ever fought us before, but that doesn't make us weak. God's been building us up to this place where we would be strong, because he said the darkness is coming, and it's going to be gross darkness, and he needed us to be strong to fight against this gross darkness. You're not going to make it if you're weak. You're just not. Okay, so then there's violent prayer points on that, on your handout. All this is written on your handout, by the way. Make an assessment of spiritual damages. We are living in a society where the church is more concerned about protocol than about God's people. Don't get me wrong. I respect protocol in the church and believe we should have it. We have this thing on Sunday where we go to church and start with worship, a few announcements, the preaching of God's word, making an altar call, then running to the parking lot to get into our cars. This is like a hamster on a wheel who thinks he is moving forward and making progress. He jumps on a wheel going 90 miles per hour and gets off, and somehow in his mind, he believes he's accomplished something. We find ourselves in the same place as the church in fear of breaking out of the Sunday ritual. The devil sits and laughs and is waiting outside the doors of the churches to resume his attacks and torment God's people. You know, I really like live stream, but yet I don't like live stream because really, you know, we are bound in a box with it. Because there's times that I really don't want to start with praise and worship. There's times that I just feel, I just know my spirit, I'm supposed to do something else. But because we're in this time frame and in this box, you have to do your half hour, your praise and worship, because if people are expecting, you know, because they can't see the praise and worship. Some sort of thing, you can't do that. But now if we had our own people up here singing, we could do that. And, you know, and then we have to be off at 11:30 so that everybody knows, get on your thing now, because they're going to start preaching. That bothers me. I'm in a box. The Holy Spirit's bound up. You know, it used to be they tell you, you have three fast songs and then three slow songs. And I said, you know, when I started doing song service the way I'm doing, I said, God, this is just junk. It doesn't get nowhere. No three fast, three slow, just the way the Spirit wants to move. The way I was just telling them back there tonight, I had a song service all together and it was a really nice one. And then I was getting another song service. I said, well, God, I already have one. He said, that was for you. You need it. And I did. He said, you needed that right now because you're at that place. You really needed that. That was my song, personal song service. He said, now this is what I want to have Wednesday night. So that's what you got Wednesday night. You see how God is, you know? We don't put him in a box. And you're not going to get three fast and three slow. You're liable to get any old thing. You see that, don't you? And, you know, like whenever God wants you to really think about God, he'll give you songs about that. When he wants to think about what he's doing for you, he does, you know, whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. All right? You know, I don't bind God up. If we're supposed to be a spirit-filled church, which we are, then we walk by the Spirit. We don't walk by man's order. All right. I was going to say something. I'll just shut up. I'll get myself in trouble right now. All right. The ministers never stop and ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do that day. Think about that. Do you, you're a minister of yourself. Do you stop when you get out of bed or before you're laying in bed, just look at the ceiling like I do a lot and just think and pray? Do you ask God, what do you want me to do today, God? I know you do. I know there's a lot of people do. But there's more people that don't than do. Oh, there goes the alarm. Oh, jump up. Oh, do this. Oh, do that. And then 3 hours later, oh, by the way, God, good morning. Isn't that the way it goes most of the time? Yeah, we don't really put God first before we can get our feet out of the bed. I found if I don't put him first, I better not put my feet on the floor because I got to be attacked really bad that day. Are you understanding this? Okay, the great pretenders. We got a lot of them, don't we? We come to church fragmented, spiritually distorted, and falling apart. And we are afraid to tell the truth of our spiritual condition. I know, I say, don't come in and look like you just ate dill pickles, you know, with a long face. Come into the house of the joy of the Lord. But I already know where you're at spiritually. I really do. God's already told me where you're at spiritually. But I'm not going to keep you in that hole, all right? And you might pretend, you know, for everybody else's benefit, but when God starts prophesying, he tells everybody right where you're at, doesn't he? You know, you get that prophecy going, boy, he's going to tell where you're at. So everybody knows, okay, when you walk through that door, I'm great. Yeah, well, that's where you're really at, right? All right. Many Christians today are discouraged. Is that right, man? And tormented beyond the point of no return. That is true. They are filled with despair and lack of hope. We in the body of Christ are the great pretenders today. When you ask a fellow believer, how are you doing? Instead of telling the truth, he answers, praise God, I'm blessed. And I even tell you to say that, don't I? And there's nothing wrong with saying that, but you know, don't go around, you know, say that. Say, great God, I'm blessed. But then also be honest with yourself inside. You know, and if you need to reach out for help, then reach out for help. All right? I reach out for help all the time. Sometimes they wished I'd shut up. But, you know, that's okay. I'm not going to keep it locked inside so it can bog me down. Right? Because, you know, at the end of the day, all is well. When all is said and done, all is well. Amen. All right, the church has become a masquerade party, masquerading our spiritual condition with shouts of hallelujah while we are waiting in God for a miracle. You know, I watch it. Sometimes I look around the church when we're doing praise and worship because I feel like there's something going on, and I'll see some of their praying, but their tears are rolling down their cheeks, you know. They're praising God, but hurting so bad inside. But because they want to give God honor, they go ahead and sing their songs. You know, or different things are going on, and God's let me see where people are really at that point. And, you know, then I can pray, you know, as I'm sitting there, I can pray. And then during the service, God can minister to you the way you need ministered to. We're just people. I just felt like if you were a Christian, went into church, you were somehow different. But we're not. We all bleed the same. We all go through the same problems. We all get discouraged. And I think it's time that the body of Christ understands that just because you get born again, because I was there and that was a bad place to be, just because you get born again, boy, your whole life is going to be hunky-dory. Well, that's whenever hunky-dory goes out the door and the devil then is after you with everything he has. And I was never taught that. Was you ever taught that when you first went to church, that the devil was waiting for you? You know, God told me that when we're born, there's an angel of God on one side of you and an angel of the devil on the other side of you. Depends on who gets your ankle first, who gets you. And then he went on to tell me that we're in a tug of war. And the devil's constantly wanting us and tugging one side. And Jesus is constantly wanting us and he's tugging the other side. Then he says we're in a chess game. Do you understand? You know, this is real life. In the body of Christ, I don't think the body of Christ can deal with real life in the house of God. We think it's like John says, you know, he knows they, you know, he's in the demonic realm. We come in here and pretend that we're something we are not. We come in and we worship God and let our cares outside the door. And we're believing that God's going to take care of those cares while we're inside. But if he doesn't and they're still waiting for us, that doesn't destroy us. We're supposed to be warriors and just keep on walking. Did I get you all confused just now? No. Okay. I've done lost my place again. You see, I love my brother. John said, you see, I love my brothers and sisters. I am my brother's keeper. Sadly, a lot of ministries out there love the crowd but hate the people. All they care about are the finances of the church and how many members they have. No, I've told you that many times. No one is making any assessment of spiritual damage, asking the Holy Spirit, what should we do? Or listening, or letting the Holy Spirit lead on Sunday instead of our traditions and our formats. All right, you know, I will call Chris because he's my assistant, and I talked to him about what God tells me about what's going on in the church. And then I tell him, you know, if I prayed, you know, which I usually have prayed for, I talk to him, this is what God wants me to do. So don't ever think that once you leave this room, whatever service you're in, that you're out of my mind, because you are not. And God constantly lets me know that you need prayer. You know, somebody sent me an email the other day, and I was just getting ready to start an email to them, and they sent one to me. So what happened, our spirits were connecting, you know. And a lot of time, well, all the time, really, I'll use Christopher. You know, I'll think about Christopher about that, and the phone rings, and it's Christopher. Or it could be Alan, you know. But you know, the spirits are connecting. So we're never apart, is what I'm trying to tell you. We are always connected in the spirit realm. And God is not going to let you out there all by yourself. He really isn't. Really. Now I have Adriana. She's a trip. And, you know, God will say, just let her stew in her own mess for a while. Just don't pay no attention. That's what I do. He said she needs to learn that she needs to come to me first. This is how God is, you know. And so I let her stew, and she stews a lot. Believe me, she does. Her face gets red even when she's stewing. Are you understanding this, guys? You know, we're human beings. And, you know, and God loves us all. And we're in this thing together, not separately. And so this is why God is saying unity is the most important thing in the body of Christ. And we're all different individuals, thank God. All different personalities. I wouldn't want another one of you or me running around anywhere. Amen? Come on. Is that against me? I know what you're saying. All right, John said, we have to stop the bleeding. It is time to deliver God's people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a page from the lives of Moses, Joseph, King David, and Esther. They were anointed to deliver God's people. I'm going to ask for showing of hands. How many of you has God said, I've anointed you to go forth and deliver my people? See? And that's what you're supposed to be doing. Did you two put your hand up? Good. So these people were anointed to deliver God's people. What has happened to us today? If we're anointed to deliver God's people, then what has happened to us today? John said, let me share with you the true condition of the church. I don't quite believe him and all the fullness, but that's all right here. Whether our brothers and sisters are battling generational curses or have open doors, known or unknown, or have slipped away from God's perfect will, or have made a mistake by taking the wrong turn somewhere, one thing I know is that God's people love God. See, and what you have to notice, he said that God's people love God. Not the people that sit in the house of the girl, not the people that sit in the house of the Lord that don't love God. I mean, that aren't God's people. But God's people love God. And that is the truth. You know, I watch people go down wrong roads one after another, but I know they love God with all their heart. I listen to them cry out to God, you know, to please help me. And, you know, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. His people are genuine Christians at heart, the ones who really love God, God's people. God's people, they are genuine in heart, and they really are. And so this is why God tells us, quit judging on the outward appearance. All right? Ask God to let you see somebody's heart. When somebody's coming against you, you have to say to God, let me see their heart. Yeah, my grandson came against me really bad, and I thought he'd never do that 2-3 years ago. And God said, daughter, love him, pray for him, because he's hurting. And what he's speaking is the pain, the deep pain that's in his heart. He still loves you. Are you listening to this? You know, husband wise, even when you fight, have arguments, know their heart, so that you don't do something stupid. All right, Scripture makes this clear that we are genuine Christians. Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul saying this to the church, the ones who really love God. Are you listening? So if you really love God and you've messed up, it's not over. It really isn't over. God knows you. One time he said to me, he said, sometimes you're so bullheaded. And I think sometimes some of you are so bullheaded too. You know, and you have to get smacked by him in order to get straightened down. It is time to end the spiritual damages once and for all. Beloved, please let me share with you what will expose the enemy so that when you get back in the battlefield. See what he said? I like what he said, when you get back into the battlefield, there will be no or very little spiritual damages in the fight. So he's believing after you read his book, you're going to get back into the battle. All right? Understand that the most powerful tools you have right now outside the name of Jesus are your body and mind. The devil is fighting you and your mind. He does not have to tie you up or kidnap you. He just needs to hijack your mind. How many times did God speak to us about the mind? Ask Adam and Eve, who lost their precious opportunity to be in God's presence in the cool of the day. Ask Cain, who murdered his brother. Ask Esau, who lost his birthright. Ask David, when fear made him run into the Philippians camp and he took 600 people with him. You know, Satan hijacked their mind. And they did things they wouldn't naturally do. That should help you, really help you. What does he say? The things I want to do, I do, and the things I don't want to do, whatever. And see, that's what happens. The devil hijacks your mind, and the things you don't want to do, you do them. And think, why did I do that? You know, and then the things you don't want to do, you do. It's just a mess. And this, I don't know about you, but this has helped me. It really has helped me. 1 Samuel 27:1-2. And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. See, he just knew Saul was going to kill him. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines, and Saul will despair of me and to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. See, the enemy made David think that he was going to kill him. So he ran. Are you listening to this? The enemy tonight would really love to make you believe that you've gone too far in sin and you walk with God so he can have you. Just tell him he's a liar. Turn around and get back in the battlefield. A head checkup. Who is occupying your mind? Stop and ask yourself this question and be honest with your answer. Let's do a head checkup. Some of the devil's tools are stress, aggravation, worry, fear, discouragement, anger, low self-esteem, and rebellion. These satanic arrows will make you physically sick because now your mind is sick. And, you know, when I was reading that today, I got really stressed out, and I got sick to my stomach. So what's it say here? These satanic arrows will make you physically sick. Because I said, boy, I'm so sick to my stomach, and I wasn't before I got stressed out. So see, I learned something. Don't get stressed out. Or if I'm sick to my stomach, stop thinking, what did you just do? Because I'll just get sick to my stomach just suddenly. And now I know why. Because the enemy has come and he's stolen my mind, hijacked my mind, and made me think the wrong things. You understand that? All right, lay your hands on your head right now and repeat after me. You can look up there. Lord, give me a new mind. A new mind means a new perspective and new thinking. Give me a new way of looking at things. Jesus, give me a new way so I can see you and see a new way out of my situation. Lord, come and get my mind ready because I'm coming out of my rough areas of thinking and reasoning. John says, my brother and sister, you are going to make it and you're going to be armed and dangerous. Close the door on the devil's face and on the spiritual damages. In the word, the Lord says that the engrafted word of God heals the mind. The word says that it is with the mind that we serve him. Speak this over your life now so you can receive God's opportunities. Put the devil on notice and destroy all spiritual damage that has been done in your life. And you can just listen as I read this in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. That's Romans 12:1-2. Trust, John says, trust God always in the battle. Whatever your challenges and struggles might be, the word of the Lord says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. How many of you say that over and over and over to yourself? I can do all things. I scream it sometimes because the devil will make me believe I'm weak, and I know I'm not, you know? What does the Bible say? When you're weak, that's when you're strong, right? John said, let me share one last thought with you before we close this chapter. If you do not beat the devil in your mind, you will never beat him in the battlefield of your life. We have been trying to beat the devil in the battlefield when he has already incarcerated our minds and thoughts. It is time to reverse the tables and beat him in your mind, as he is already defeated in the battlefield. What's somebody addicted, like cigarettes or drugs? What's going on there? The devil has already incarcerated them, their minds, to make them believe they need those fixes. Now, you're going to have to take control of your mind, and you're going to need some help, some of you, and you're going to have to get that devil out of your mind, and then you have control of your mind and don't give it back to the devil again. All right, say this last thing with me. I am not wasting another moment. Another opportunity that God gives me. And I am not wasting another year of my life. I will rise up from the spiritual damages once and for all. In Jesus' mighty, precious name. Amen. Aren't you glad you come out to the house of God tonight? Some of you need your mind freed tonight, and this is what God wants to do.